In the gospel reading today, we hear about a number of the people who heard our Lord preaching. Particularly, he told them that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they have no life in him. And they murmured against the Lord. They said, "This saying is hard, and who can accept it?" And we are told that many of those who had been following him abandoned him. They walked with him no longer. Now, if we look at the question of why, it's because of the Eucharist. Because they refused to believe, and in fact, if you've ever questioned why Judas betrayed Jesus, it's right there. It says, Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Judas betrayed Jesus because he refused to believe in the Holy Eucharist. So as we move down in the reading, Jesus asks the rest of the apostles, "Do you want to leave too?" This teaching is so critical that he was willing to allow every single person to walk away from him if that's what they would choose to do. But St. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So that brings us then to the critical point tonight. Whom will we serve? We have Joshua asking the people in the first reading the exact same thing. They had now crossed over the Jordan. They had come into the promised land. And he said, "Choose today whom you will serve. You're going to serve the gods that your fathers served back in Egypt or anywhere else? You're going to serve the false gods of the Amorites because now you've come into their land? Or are you going to serve the Lord?" Now, what we'd like to be able to do is to stand up and say with Joshua, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But before we can do that, we need to look at what that means. To serve the Lord is not necessarily an easy thing. As we heard, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? Do you? Do you really truly believe that Jesus is present in the most holy Eucharist? Do you really truly believe that bread and wine are changed into the very person of Jesus Christ? This isn't a sign, this isn't a symbol. This is the very reality of the Son of God who is so in love with you that he is giving himself to you in a form that you can receive him without violating your dignity. You can't see him there, you can't feel him there, you can't sense him there. Do you believe that he's there? He's willing to let you walk away if you say no. How about the teaching in the second reading? If this isn't perhaps the most hated scripture in all of the Bible, I don't know what is. And it's one of the most beautiful. And it's hated because people don't understand it. Because they look at it on the surface and they misunderstand what St. Paul is saying and they reject it. So how about that? Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Do you accept that? For those of you who are married, may I remind you that you did make a vow along those lines? Did you really believe what you were saying? Did you really mean what you were saying? So let's look at this a little bit, as long as I said earlier, people misunderstand it. So we have to start, as the church did, with verse 21. A lot of people like to start with verse 22 that says, wives be subordinate to your husbands. Now, looking at things from up here, what sometimes happens is when that happens, men will suddenly kind of do this to their wives. And then when we get to the part where it says, husbands, love your wives, then the elbow goes the other way into the husband's ribs. That's not what St. Paul is getting at. So notice in verse 21, it says, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. And if you look at the Greek, St. Paul is famous for these long sentences. This is one of them. So they put a period in there where St. Paul didn't, just to make it a little easier. The word subordinate is used only once, not twice. What it actually says is be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives to your husbands as to the Lord. Because they put a period in there, they had to repeat the subordinate part to be able to make clear what St. Paul be talking about. But he had just said, be subordinate to one another. In other words, St. Paul is not asking anything of males that he isn't asking of females, and vice versa. Wives and husbands are called to the exact same thing. So why does he make the distinction? Because of sin. Because original sin has messed us up so badly that St. Paul is giving us right here the cure for it. For those who are married, do you ever think that your marriage is the cure for original sin? That this is the way that God has given to us to overcome sin and its effects? But that's exactly what it is. So why is St. Paul then making this distinction between the husbands and the wives if he's telling them that they have to do the same thing? Well, let's look at the problem. He's asking wives in a specific way to be subordinate to their husbands. That does not mean that you are the Nubian slave in the house, ladies. That does not mean if your husband snaps his finger, you have to jump. It's not what it says at all. The problem is that when we translate it into English, no matter what word you use to translate it, it doesn't sound good. Subordinate means under the order of. Submissive means to be sent under. Doesn't sound good, does it? But if we go down a little further and it says, husbands, love your wives, and now we bring it back to the wives first, we say, be under the order of your husband. What is your husband ordered to do? To love you. That sounds pretty good all of a sudden, doesn't it? Isn't that what every woman wants? Problem is that because of original sin, women don't allow it. Women have very little trouble loving. They have tremendous trouble allowing themselves to be loved. Men, on the other hand, have no problem allowing themselves to be loved. We'll soak up every ounce that any woman is willing to shower upon us. But men have trouble loving. And so St. Paul then says, ladies, keep loving, but let your guard down and allow yourself to be loved. Allow your husband to love you. Men, allow yourself to be loved, yes, but now love your wife. So now we need to make another distinction. What is love? It is an American problem, is what it is, because it's the very purpose for which we are created, and we don't even know what it is. It's the only thing that is going to fulfill you. And Satan has succeeded so profoundly in messing this up that we don't even know what it is. We think love is an emotion. We think love is warm, gushy feelings. We think love is romance. Even worse these days, if you say make love, that has a gross connotation to it. None of those things is love. Yes, there are emotions that come with love, but the emotions aren't the love. To love someone is to serve them. To love someone is to put that other person before you. To love someone is to die to yourself and live for that other person. Exactly what St. Paul tells us that Jesus does for the church, and that marriage is that symbol of the marriage of Christ and the church. So husbands, think about what's going to happen here on the altar in just a couple of minutes. Jesus is sacrificing himself for his spouse, the church. The church has to receive the sacrifice of Jesus. She receives the life that our Lord gives her. And in the Holy Eucharist, the great miracle is that she gives that life back to Jesus. He receives life from her. She dies to herself in order to give life to him, and he dies to himself in order to give life to her. So what St. Paul is saying is, husbands, you are to sacrifice yourself for the good of your wife. And women, you are to allow yourselves to be loved in this manner. That's not gushy. It's definitely not about sexuality. It is about a self-sacrificing charity given to another person. That is what Jesus did and continues to do for the church. The church, in allowing herself to be loved by Jesus, continues then to turn that back and love him, and he is willing to receive that love. Both giving, both receiving, both being subordinate to one another. That is what marriage is supposed to be. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Suddenly, wives being subordinate to their husbands and husbands loving their wives doesn't sound so bad. Except it's terrifying, isn't it? For women to be vulnerable and allow themselves to be loved, that's scary. For men to actually have to die to themselves and sacrifice themselves for their wives, yeah, that's pretty demanding and that's scary. That is freedom. That is fulfillment, if you are willing to do it. Not once or twice. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for the rest of your life. Exactly what you vowed on the day you got married. Now, the problem is most married couples are unwilling to do this. And the reason that they're unwilling to do this is because if I actually loved my spouse more, that would change the relationship. The status quo is what we just need to keep. No, it's not. Jesus didn't ask you to aim for the status quo. He asked you to love more. In fact, if you go back and he says, there's one commandment that he gave us, love your neighbor. Husbands and wives, first and foremost, that's what it's about. So he's not asking you to love your spouse as little as you can get away with. Really ask yourself honestly, and I brought this up before, but do you really think you would have married this person if he or she would have looked at you and said, I will love you as little as I can for the rest of my life? Do you really think you would have said yes? But that's what we settle for, isn't it? As little as what we can get away with. God wants you to love with your whole heart and soul and strength. Not a little bit, all. Now, there's a lot more that I could say about that, but I'm already getting pretty windy, so I'll shut up. But with this in mind, now we've seen two of the most difficult of all of the things that our Lord teaches. Teaching regarding just the basics of married life. The teaching regarding the Holy Eucharist, which is our Lord loving his church. That is what spouses are to do for one another. 2,000 years ago, the people murmured against Jesus and they said, this is hard to listen to. Who can endure it? So I put it before you again, now at least with a little more understanding perhaps than you had a few minutes ago. Are you willing to serve the Lord? Choose today whom you will serve. Don't give lip service to Jesus. He is God. And if we don't believe that he is God, if we don't really believe that he is present in the Eucharist, if we really don't want to love with our whole heart and soul and strength, then we should go somewhere else where the devil is telling us that it's all about me. You don't need to love. You don't need to sacrifice. Because it's all about you. It's what you want. It's, you know, do what you want. It's not what Jesus asked us to do. So when his apostles even were questioning, when that wider body of disciples walked away, he looked at his disciples and said, do you want to leave me too? That's what he's doing to you and me right now. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He and he alone has the words of eternal life because he alone is eternal life. No one comes to the Father but through him. The question is, will we serve him? 3,500 years ago, Joshua challenged the people of Israel with that one. And it is put before us again today. Choose today whom you will serve. Even Bob Dylan, as crazy as he is, figured this out about 20 years ago and put out a song that said, everyone must serve someone. And then he gave all the different possibilities. Everyone must serve someone. So choose today whom you will serve. Don't just give it lip service. It's from the heart. It's about service. It is about dying to self. It is about putting the other first. And I hope and pray that you will be able to say, and not just sort of mumble it, but to say with your whole heart, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.